Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. What a blessing it has already been just being in this place tonight, and glad that we had this opportunity to assemble ourselves together. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, we started a couple months ago in November, I believe it was, and started on teaching on why we do what we do as a church. And I think it's very important that we know why we do what we do as a church. Basically, why we do what we do is based upon what the Bible says to do. And we are a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And so we started out with that. And everything is based upon God's Word. The final authority in His church is His Word. That's the final authority. It's not the pastor. It's not the board of deacons. It's not even the congregation. If it's going to be His church, Christ has the preeminence. He has the head. He has the headship of the body. And because of that, He has the final authority. His Word represents Christ. He left His Word for us, completed it, and left it for us. And so the Bible is the final authority in His church. We studied on why we're independent and why we're fundamental and why we're Baptist. And that's important to understand. That's the church that you're in and why you're in an independent, fundamental Baptist church. And I trust that was a help to you. Studied on why preaching. Why preaching? How's come we have to preach every time we assemble ourselves together? That's my slang, how's come? Anyway, why do we have preaching every time we assemble? I think it's Bible. It's what the Word of God says to do. Why a public invitation when everyone else is starting to change that? I mean, churches today, they don't have the preaching like they used to. They don't have the invitations like they used to. The Bible's remained the same. If it was based upon the Bible to start with, then why change it? The Bible hadn't changed. And so we have public invitations to give people an opportunity to respond after allowing God to speak to them through the preaching of the Word of God. And so we have public invitations. Why bus ministry? Hopefully you was here on that Sunday night. We taught on that. It's very important. Why bus ministry? And then last Sunday night is why amen? Why do people say amen in the services? And why do some say it more than others? And on and on and on. And if you weren't here last Sunday night, get that message, because you need to understand the most biblical way to respond in a worship service established by God through the Word is an amen. And we taught on what that was and all the things about that. I trust it was a help to you. Well, tonight, and possibly the last message on why we do what we do, and that is one that many times is dreaded by even the congregation to hear messages preached on about separation and standards. Separation and standards. Why, when everything else is starting to just kind of just go with the flow, and why do we have to preach on separation? And why do we have to establish standards that are different from the world's set of standards? And sometimes we have young people ask that, and teenagers, and adults, and everyone else. But that is an issue there. That's something that is important to understand why, as a church, that we continue to preach on separation and establishing standards by which to live. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you'll stand with me, we're going to start reading in verse 11, read down to chapter 7, verse 1. The question tonight, does God have an expectation for the Christian lifestyle? If you believe it is, then what is it? What's it based on? Once again, it has to go back to the Bible and what God says about a lifestyle, especially a Christian-based lifestyle. If you look to the Old Testament, say, well, did He establish one for the Old Testament Israel? Read the law. Study the law. I think that you might surprise you what God expected out of His people in the Old Testament. New Testament. John the Baptist came, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the first thing that he preached? Repent. Change your life. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have a better life. We have the things of God, a way that God has established for us to live. Jesus, the very same thing as he began his public ministry. Repent. That's what he preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's just, some people say, well, just believing is enough. And if God has expectation for a lifestyle, then just believing is just a start. That's where it begins, is believing and then understanding why God has expectations of a lifestyle. And so we look here in the Scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll start in verse 11. The Bible says, O you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. When you read this passage of Scripture, this chapter 6, don't lose sight of that. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak unto my children, be also enlarged, have an enlarged heart. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, understanding that, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you tonight, thank you for allowing us this window to be able to have church and allowing those to get here safely. And I just pray, God, that as we've already received much from being here tonight, we thank you for that. But I pray now that as we study this, the passage of Scripture and preach and teach on this subject, I pray that you would help us, give us more insight into why separation and standards. Help us to be able to understand it so that we might help others to understand it likewise. Now meet with us and bless in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Even in our articles of faith, and every member of Lighthouse Baptist Church, when you become a member, we go over, we give you articles of faith as you come to visit the church. And then in order to be a member, you have to be in agreement with the articles of faith. Especially if you're going to run for offices, in just a few weeks we're going to have our election of officers. And one of the things we ask every officer, because you're representing the church in a position that you have chosen and agreed to serve in, are you in 100% agreement with the articles of faith? And they have to answer positive and confirm that in order to be an officer of the church as well. But in the articles of faith, and there's 14 different statements here, but two address what we're preaching on tonight. Statement number 9 in articles of faith says this: all believers are baptized into the true body by the Holy Spirit and are set apart to a holy walk. Every believer needs to understand that when you're saved, you have been sanctified, or set apart, or set aside for God's purpose, and that is to live for Him. Be holy as I am holy, the Lord says. And so a holy walk. Let's not lose sight of this idea of holiness based on what the Word of God says. And then the last of the articles of faith, the 14, it says this: as children of the Lord, we should endeavor, this is what we ought to be trying to accomplish, endeavor by God's grace to live a consistent Christian life and refrain from worldliness and conduct ourselves in such a way as not to be a stumbling block, not to be a stumbling block or a hindrance to someone else wanting to serve the Lord and accomplish things that God would have them to accomplish. And so our testimony basically is what we're saying. You have to be aware, and you have to have a desire to have a testimony that represents Christ. And if you're going to do that, then you're going to have to understand there's going to have to be some things that I'm going to have to separate myself from in this world. And as I concentrate on that, I should not be as concerned about separating from as much as I am as separating to. The more you draw closer to Christ, the more you'll turn away from the things of the world. And the Spirit of God will lead you in order to do that. Separation is a doctrine. It is a Bible doctrine that many, especially even in the day and age we're living in today, and which should be presented even more so, it is being ignored today by even some Baptist churches. And that's where you have the liberal Baptist from the fundamental Baptist, the Bible Baptist, those who believe in the Bible, to some other. And so even in the Baptist ranks, there's some that are ignoring this idea and they just don't want to address it. They don't want to preach on it. They just soon just let everyone make their own decisions. And that is not, everyone will decide for themselves, but it is the church that is here to preach and to teach the Word of God. As independent fundamental Baptists, we have decided not to turn away from it, but to continue as in the past to preach the Word of God. Every bit of the Word of God, the whole counsel of the Bible. And if you're preaching the whole counsel of the Bible, you cannot ignore what God says about separation and standards by which He would want His children to live by. Now, your degree of separation might vary from somebody else's degree of separation, but we cannot disagree on the fact that there is a doctrine of separation. And the doctrine of separation leads to and comes from the idea of holiness. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Some believe that separation and standards are just to restrict us and keep us from, a lot of teenagers, keep me from just having fun. Which is the farthest thing from the truth. In reality, biblical separation allows us to walk closer to God and experience His joy and divine nature. That's what He said. You come to me, you're going to be my sons and daughters. You're going to experience a family of God. You're going to experience my blessings and joy and the happiness that we even preached on this morning. It's all connected to that. And so this idea of separation is something that was designed by God to help. Paul had it. And he desired for the Corinthian believers to have it. And that's where in verse 11 he says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. I'm going to be telling you this, I'm trying to help you with this, because we have a love for you and our heart is enlarged for you. And we want you to have this very same understanding. Then verse 13 he says, Now for a recompense in the same I speak unto as unto my children, be also enlarged. We want you to enjoy what we are enjoying in a close walk with God. So God's purpose for a holy walk is somewhat twofold. First is so that we would glorify Him and be His witnesses. Glorify Him and represent Christ as Christians. Can't do that unless you walk in the very same footsteps, if you will, the very same direction that Christ walked. He set an example for us. He set an example for Christianity so that we would glorify Him and be His witnesses. The second thing is to protect us. You say protect us by putting restrictions on us? It's not designed to restrict. Illustration that might help you, and I don't really think that the government ought to be able to force you to put a seatbelt on, and I don't think the government ought to be able to force us to put a helmet on, but were seatbelts designed to restrict or to protect? Now, they might restrict, but that's not what they were designed to do. They were designed to protect, and it's evident. They have enough studies and to know that they do. They save lives. Helmets. We're not really designed to restrict. Somebody didn't think, well, how can I restrict somebody that wants to ride a motorcycle? I'm just going to design something that's going to restrict them. That's not what it was all about. If somebody said, you know, they're out there in the open. If they have a small, just a little accident, they could hit their head and they could be killed in just a minor accident. And so what can we do? What can we design for those that are going to be out there and are going to ride motorcycles? What can we design for them? And so they went in and they designed something to protect your head. So if you fell over, had an accident, you would not perish because of that. The helmet would just get a scratch on it. I'm here today because I wore a helmet. But I would not have worn the helmet if I was not forced to wear the helmet. It was law. And so I'm thankful that they established a law, and it was not to restrict. The meaning and the purpose for the law was to protect. And I'm here tonight because my helmet got all gashed. If it wasn't my helmet, it would have been my head. So separation is designed by God to protect us from evil. And that verse 17, that's why he says, and there it is, wherefore, come out from among you, them. And how can you deny separation, preaching on set, when he says, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The obvious contrast that he gives us right here in verse 14 to 17 is there is no righteousness in unrighteousness. There's no righteousness. If it's unrighteous, it's unrighteous. There's no righteousness in unrighteousness. There's no light in darkness. None. There's no attachment between Christ and Satan. None. You can't straddle the fence. You can't serve two masters. You can't do it. There's no attachment between Christ and Satan. There's no faith in an unbeliever. And there's no agreement between the true God and a false idol of God. That's what he says. All these things. And he said, these things, these are obvious. These are contrasts and separation. And so it's obvious the things that we need to separate ourselves from. What he's telling us is, as a born-again believer, you're different. The saved see God for who he is. The lost do not know him. That makes a world of difference in how we live our lives. Verse 16, the Bible says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. A lost man, he does not dwell in, he does not walk with them. The Bible said, but the saved, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God dwells within the saved. They have a new nature. Makes them a new creature. Makes all things pass and things becoming new. You're different. So one of the first things you have to realize, are you saved or not? If you are saved, you're different. If you are saved, God has a preference. He has an expectation of our lifestyle. He has an expectation of how he would have us to live our lives. And based on that comes God's blessings or God's judgments upon his children. Often I talk to people, and just the other day I was talking to somebody about how it was a blessing to see how that since they've been coming to the church and got saved, they've been changing. And they mentioned that to me. He said, you know, the closer we get to God, the farther we want to stay away from the things we were involved in before we come to church. Amen. What a blessing when that happens. God's love for us is seen in his desire for us to be holy. It's God's love for us, knowing that how that's going to help us and protect us and bring about his blessings upon our life. So the obvious command is be a separate. So separation, there's three types of separation. Three types of separation. First of all, there is the moral separation. If you study the scriptures, you'll find that there's a moral separation. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians, and if you were here in Sunday school this morning, you was able to be taught some of this. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a moral separation, basically he tells us the body is holy. Your body's a temple of God, it's holy. So be ye holy. But he says, flee fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. This is something that is going to affect you like nothing else you can do to your body. This is more powerful than any drug or alcohol, and Satan uses this. And you look around in our society today, I guarantee you, he is using it more today and getting more people caught up in pornography, getting more people caught up in all these sexual sins. It's a very powerful, and God warns us, said this is something that you sin against your own body and because of what it does to you. And then he says, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. You might not know it, but you ought to know it. Which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, and you can't do that unless you separate from certain things of the world. from doing certain things. But we find it's, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Moral separation is simply saying your body is holy. He said, touch not the unclean thing. Touch not the things that are going to cause you to be unclean. Don't yield to those sins that are going to cause you to be unclean. The sins of the flesh. Moral separation. There's doctrinal separation. Doctrinal separation simply says the Word of God is holy. Separate to it. Separate what your doctrines of the world. Separate the philosophies of man. And focus on the doctrines of the Bible, because the Bible is holy. And so the Word of God is holy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. And Paul writing to Timothy concerning the Scriptures, he says to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, the holy, holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that he's preaching to the people of God, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The doctrines of Christ. As a matter of fact, over in the book of 2 John, and let me just read this to you. 2 John, verse 8, it says this. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Praise the Lord for that. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Separate from that. Separate from anybody that does not have biblical doctrine. Do not allow that to influence you in any way. Doctrinal separation. Because God's word is holy. So you have moral separation because your body's holy. You have doctrinal separation because the Word of God is holy. And then we have what we call practical separation. Practical separation because your testimony is holy. You're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. It's important how you present yourself to this world, to others. If you're Christ, you're not your own. Glorify God with your testimony. Practical separation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, I'm moving through this tonight. I want you to get it. I want you to have this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I love the end of 1 Thessalonians. Just a powerful passage of Scripture here. Several things presented in such a short passage of Scripture. But verse 21, verse 22. 21 says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Know your conviction. We even mentioned that this morning. That's part of happiness. Amen. No Holy Spirit conviction, no personal conviction. And once you've established it as conviction, as something based upon the Word of God, don't compromise that, no matter what. No matter what, you establish in your own heart and your mind, it's not up for debate. This is my faith. This is what I believe. This is the doctrine I hold. It's not up for debate. And then after he says, once you prove that, abstain from all appearance of evil. Appearance, why? Because people might associate Christ with what you are associated with. If you're only Christian, somebody knows, they will associate Christianity with what you're associating yourself with. So there has to be practical separation. In Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 1, it talks about the sins that so easily beset us, that become weights. Not only the sins, but the weights that hinder us from accomplishing God's will. Something that I might consider a personal conviction might not be a conviction to you because you're not a pastor. And that's fine. You don't have to have the very same personal convictions I have. I would trust that if you're a Bible believer, you have the very same biblical convictions. Because that's the same for everybody. But other than that, there are hindrances or weights that's going to hinder us from accomplishing God's purpose and will for our lives. And there's certain things that I am possibly, and you are too, a sin that so easily besets you, that if you even get close to that, you're putting yourself in a place of temptation that you should not be put into. And so because of that, my degree of separation might be a little different from your degree of separation. Don't expect somebody to have the very same personal degree of separation that you have. But do it. We ought to be able to expect other believers to at least believe in separation. Okay, if it's not this degree of separation, then you ought to know what degree of separation that you do adhere to. Practical separation, that's what that is. Separating from those things that could appear to be evil and cause us to lose our testimony. That's just practical. Some of those practical things that separate from some people don't require everyone else to separate from those same people, but if that person is a hindrance to you, then you have to separate yourself from even people, certain people that are leading you down a wrong direction or that are more of an influence on you than you can be on them. Whenever the Christian is being influenced more than you are an influence in any situation, get out of that situation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, just look back a couple chapters here, we'll find. Second Thessalonians, that's why. I think that's not what I was looking for. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every, look right here, brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. If God says that you even have to be concerned about withdrawing from those that call themselves brothers, how much more from those that do not even claim to be saved? We have to be aware, even if they say that they're saved, if they are an influence and leading us in a wrong direction or a hindrance to our serving God, I must withdraw myself from that fellowship of that individual or individuals. Practical separation from people. Practical separation from places. If there are places that we're going that have a negative spiritual effect on us, sanctify yourself. Separate yourself from those places, whether it be music, whether it be dress, whether it be the appearance of alcohol being served. Now, I'm not saying you can't go. That's something that you have to decide. If you have a problem, if you have a temptation, if you see somebody else drinking alcohol, even in a restaurant facility, if that's a temptation, you should restrain from going to that. You ought to separate yourself from going to that place. You know, only you know how that will affect you. But you know how it affects you. If television causes you to have all these different types of thoughts and goes places you should not be going, then you ought to refrain yourself and separate yourself from even watching TV. Now, don't go out of here and say, preacher said, well, everybody will throw their televisions away. I didn't say that. But some might, ought to. If you can't control it, if it's more of a hindrance than a help to you, that's what I'm saying. Practical separation. Practical separation is from separating from some people. Practical separation is separating from some places. And lastly, tonight, it's separating from some things like computers, like internet. How many people have gotten totally messed up on the internet? Would you have been better not to have it? If it's up to me, I'd outlaw texting and internets and everything. Let's get back to the old way of just verbally communicating with everybody. Something to be said about that. On a text, you think, oh, well, how'd they mean that? And you don't know. So you have to go back and forth and back and forth, and then before you know it, everybody's confused. I'm telling you, if you just want a yes or no answer, then that's fine. If you want to talk to me, call me. I am not going to carry on a conversation through texting. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I want to know how you're saying what you're saying. Because I've got to have it compute in here so that I know where it's coming from and how to respond in a right way. So some things, we just need to separate from things. Sometimes sports. If anyone stayed home tonight because of the Colts game, you ought to give up your support of sports. Amen. I'm just saying. Amen. Now, they had an excuse with the ice and the Colts game. It might have made the staying home to watch the Colts a little easier because it had a chance of icing outside. I'm saying only you know that. If sports is starting to take more impact you and take more of your time away from things that are more important, especially the things of God, practical separation. Or at least cut back on that. When you take something away, always replace it with something good. Yeah. And if you just start replacing the things of God, just put them in your life, you'll find that it's just automatic. I become separated unto God. Because I find the more the things of God that I put into my life, the more the things of God I want in my life. And I don't have room for the other things in my life. Especially the things that will hinder God becoming my Heavenly Father. I'm walking with my Father. I become His child. I'm aware of His presence. I'm aware of His help. I'm aware of His hope. Because I have God. Separation and standards. It's biblical. Not given to restrict. It's giving to protect and to help us to accomplish the things that God has for our lives so that God might bless us with His blessings. Praise the Lord for separation and standards. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Why? It's biblical. It's Bible. Understanding it is very important. Don't let somebody else try to establish your personal convictions. You have to do that for yourself. It's within your bowels, as Paul said. But my heart is, I want you to have them. And this is what the Word of God says. Establish your convictions, standards, and separation based upon the very words of God. Father, we love you. Thank you tonight for the blessings being in church. Thank you for the precious word of God. I pray tonight, God, that you would just now work in our midst. And if there's decisions that need to be made, I pray that we would make them in this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.